That amazing? After he changes you and touches you, makes you whole, you start realizing how much you need Papa God. It's not like, well, I've got all I need now, I'm good to go. If you get to that point, you're in trouble, friends. You're stuck in a denominational mindset. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're good. We're so grateful to be here. It's good to be here, Lord, with you here in our midst, Lord, to come and minister to us, Father. And we ask an amazing thing, that the mighty God would come down and minister to his bride, to take care of her needs, Lord. And yet that's what you will ask us to ask you for. And that's what you want to do. It's your attributes, Lord, to come and be a minister and to take care of her needs. And oh, it just gives you such joy, that you take such pleasure in taking care of your bride and meeting all her needs. And sometimes it doesn't come the way we would prefer it to come and the way we want things, but you know what's best for us. So help us each one this morning to just surrender our own ideas and our own pride and our own whatever we have, our religion, Lord, and let you come and have your way among us, Lord. Meet our needs as you promised to do. Be the great Jehovah Jireh, be Jehovah Rama, be Jehovah Rapha, all these, Lord Jesus, the many compound definitions of who you are, your attributes that you want to pour out to us, Lord, and help us to see you, Father, for who you are. Bless the ones who aren't here, Lord. Just, Lord, you know their needs. Meet them also, Lord Jesus. And we ask this in your name. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Romans 8, we're going to read one verse there, and then we're going to read a couple verses out of Ephesians 2 also. So Romans 8, verse 11. It says, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." So recognize right away, brother and sister, he's going to quicken us by his spirit that dwelleth in you. It's him doing it, all right? If you want to turn to Ephesians, the second chapter. We'll start at verse 1. Ephesians 2 and 1. "And you hath he quickened." There it is again. What is quickened? It means to be made alive. He's made you alive. "Who were dead in trespasses and sin." We were dead in trespasses and sin, and he made us alive. That means we are no longer in trespasses and sin. "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." You can have a seat. Let's just look at this a little bit more in depth. So he said, we were dead in sin and trespasses, and we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We were just like the world. We had an old nature. It was what controlled us. And we were going about our business doing whatever we wanted. Because that's what your own nature wants more than anything else, is to do what it wants to do. But then he said, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together." So he did not wait for you to get good. He did not wait for you to start being holy. He did not wait for you to say, well, you know what? I think I'm going to change. I'm going to start being a good message believer. And then he quickens you. No, sir. He came to you by mercy. Rich in mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is not to give something that you deserve. And you know what we deserve? We deserve hell. But he said, I am not going to give you hell. I am going to be rich in mercy. In one place in the Bible, it says he delights in mercy. My, that's just amazing. He says, you know what? My wrath is here. I can, my righteous anger, my wrath is directed at you, but I have another characteristic, and it's mercy. And I'm going to raise up my mercy, and it's going to counteract my wrath, and I'm going to say, I'm going to save you even when you're dead in sin and trespasses. By grace, nothing you did. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is giving you something you don't deserve. And he said, I'm going to choose you. I'm going to save you. Now, I think Thursday I talked about how I was laying a foundation to preach this morning on something. And I was studying all on the lines last night and got up this morning, going to study, come and preach that message. And at the very last minute, he said, no. So today we're going to do something different. It's just a little bit more foundation laying because, for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, but he said, it's not time to preach that. And I was excited. Last Sunday, I was ready. Up in the mountains, he had come, and I had this something just burning my heart, and I couldn't wait till Sunday morning to get started. And I missed being here. I said, well, what is that all about? I said, well, this Sunday I'm going to get to it. Nope, not going to happen. Don't know why. Maybe I'm not ready for it. Maybe the church ain't ready. Maybe there's something that has to fall in place before we get there. It's something that's burning my heart, but it isn't time for it. So we're going to lay some more foundation here before we get to it. Whenever God wants it, we're going to get there. But we want to talk about this morning. Your foundation as a Christian has to be built on revelation. And the foundation of this revelation has to be you have to know who you are. You have to know who you are. Because you cannot know who Christ is without knowing who you are. And you cannot know who you are without knowing who Christ is. And that's something, think about it. Because otherwise, well, I know who Christ is. If you don't see Christ in you and know it's the same being, then you just have a historical Christ. We're not talking about a historical Christ. We have to know who we are. And then I want to ask, how do you know? And it's really simple. We get so many things. Well, if I do this, if I do that. No. The way you know who you are is God takes you to the Word and shows you in the Word. The characteristics that you recognize in yourself, it proves who you are. You don't have to sit here and wonder. You don't have to sit here and try to prove who you are. You need to believe when God shows you who you are in the Word and say, praise God, that's me. And that's all it takes. And you know what, something, brother and sister? If we would get to the point where we would focus on who we are instead of the circumstances around us, we would live a lot more overcoming, happy, and peaceful life. But what happens is we're going along and something bad happens and this goes wrong and we start looking at these circumstances and we start doubting who we are. The reality is, if you're a child of God, you have nothing to worry about. It's already taken care of. It's already taken care of. It is promised to work it out in the end. Just keep focus on that I am a child of God and He loves to take care of my needs. He loves to be involved in the very minutest detail in your life if we would just let Him do it. Let me give you, see if I can make this example. Well, Michael back there, he says, I want to grow up and be just like Daddy. I want to drive a pickup like Daddy. I want to hunt like Daddy. He says, okay, well then just grow. You'll get there. But I want it now. I want to overcome all the things in the world. Just keep growing, you'll get there. How do you know? Maybe I won't. Now you're doubting who you are. Well, Daddy, I want my rifle now. Well, let me just go a little further in this. When Mama says, don't go on the road, and you go anyways, and then you get punished for it, and you cry about it because you're crying for what you did wrong, you're not ready for a rifle. Oh, the kids I've worked with over the years do something completely know they're going to get in trouble and then get mad when they get in trouble for doing it anyways. Human beings, how many of us are still doing that kind of stuff? Yeah, never gets old. It's human nature, friends. Recognize who you are, and then when things happen and things aren't going the way we want, just keep focused on this is, I am a child of God. God has called me to walk this, and there is, I am going to overcome. This is going to be taken care of. How is it going to work out? I don't know how this is going to work out. This problem is going on, and that's going on. Okay, welcome to the human race. Now suck it up. Get over your bad self and keep walking and recognize, focus on that I am a child of God. I've been called for this. I've been ordained. He chose me and he is going to take care of all the problems I have, including my besetting sins. You know what Satan uses the besetting sins for? To get you discouraged, to get your eyes off of who you are. So you sit there and say, man, I just can't seem to overcome this. I prayed about that. I just don't know what to do. Well, you think we're all going to sit down and feel sorry for you or something? I ain't feeling sorry for you. I got enough problems feeling sorry for myself. I ain't got time to spare any pity for you. And you go, oh, I don't know if it's going to work out. You know, people say, I just can't live the message. I just can't do it. You're right, you can't. Neither can any one of us. He proves who you are by revealing your characteristics in the Word, the characteristics of a believer. Now, some people, you see who you are, and like Brother Branham said, or I don't know Brother Branham, he didn't say it, but someone said they came out of a Brother Branham meeting, and he said, that guy called me a vulture. And the other guy said, well, he called me an eagle. It just depends on what characteristics you identify yourself. Now, you can do it in your mind because, you know what, every message believer, I'm an eagle, but your characteristics prove something different sometime. So let's see what the Word, the effect is supposed to have on us and see if it's having it. Let's go back to the very, very, very beginning. When you were a child of God, you were in his mind when he is creating the earth and you are jumping for joy and dancing for joy and shouting and praising God because you see, that's my homecoming. Now, predestination. You are predestinated, right? Everyone's predestinated. Some to life and some not to life, which would be death. And Brother Branham says this, he predestinates you by the choice. He knew what choice you're going to make. What decision? Do you want to serve him or not? Now let me just get real basic here. Everybody wants to be saved. Everybody wants to have a relationship with God, including Satan. If Satan could be saved, he would be saved. Because see, your old nature wants to serve God. Because everyone wants to worship. Everyone has to have a God. That's why people worship sports, they worship money, they worship sex, they worship men, they worship women, they worship whatever it is. They worship their cars, they worship their house, they worship themselves most of the time. Everyone wants to worship. Your own nature, part of that nature is to worship God. And so people come and say, well, I chose to be a Christian. Now, if God went by your own nature desire to be a Christian, he has to save everybody. That ain't what he's talking about. That's not it. Because you can go to 1,000 churches around here. Do you want to serve God? Yes. Do you give a heart to God? Yes, I did. I'm a Christian. I believe God. I'm doing all this. If that's what God was, if that's what predestination was, and it's because of the decision you make, then all these people have to be saved. But they're not. Because your old nature desires to worship God. So it's something much deeper than that, isn't it? It's something that's way deeper. Let's look at this a little bit. He said, remember, you, in the stature that you are in this morning, if you wasn't in his thinking then, you're not now. There's some part that's of you that's eternal, and eternal only belongs to God, and in God was his thinking of you sitting right here where you are this morning. Way back there before the foundation of the world, God already knew you're going to be sitting here, knew what shirt you're going to be wearing, what thoughts are going through your mind right now, what you have for breakfast this morning, and what you're going to have for dinner tonight. God knew it. He knew it all. And in God was thinking, was his thinking of you sitting right where you are now. In his thinking, I stood in the pulpit this morning because he's infinite and knows all things. And he knew I was going to stand in the pulpit this morning too. Therefore, he could tell the end from the beginning because he's eternal, and you being a son of God or a daughter of God, then you were in his thinking at the beginning. If you weren't there at the beginning, you're not going to be there at the end because those thoughts were eternal. He said, well, he didn't know everybody else. Of course he knew everybody else. He knew all the people who were going to be on earth, but those people were not in his thinking as his family at the very beginning when the sons of God were shouting for joy. There is a book written. Their names are in that book, but it's not the book of life. It's a different book. Then it gets good. You want to hear it get good, Brother Paul? Then when the Holy Spirit came, and you're on earth, walking around here as a sinner, way down in your life, there's something. You don't know what's taking place, but you're hungering. Oh, my. Oh, I can relate to this. Can you? Do you know what he's talking about? All your friends were out there running around and doing all this stuff, and you tried to do it, but you just couldn't find a satisfaction. You were trying to do it, and you were living as hard as you could, and you were doing everything everyone else was, and you're supposed to be trying to be cool, and you're trying to have friends, but there's something just missing, and you're just hungering something more that they couldn't supply. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Oh, you didn't have to be out in the world. You might have been grown up in the message, but before you were born again, you knew there was something inside hungering. And you find this one, they found satisfaction. That one's found satisfaction. And this goes to a message church, and they found satisfaction. And you go to that message church, and you say, there's something missing. Why? Because you're different. You're weird. You're strange. Bible says you're a stranger. That makes you strange. Why can't you just settle down and be happy like the rest of the message believers? What's wrong with you? There's something in you, something that you never put in there. You had no control of it. Listen to this. It's something that you couldn't desire to be in there. You never desire that thing to be in there because it makes you miserable. It makes you hungry. It makes you walk around in lonely places. It makes your friends think you're weird. It makes everyone look like, what is wrong with you? You're such a renegade. Why don't you just settle down and just be like the rest of us? But there's something that you didn't desire, but it keeps you up at night. It torments you during the day. It drives you to drugs. It drives you to women. It drives you to seeking something that will satisfy you, but you can't find it, and it makes you miserable. I know I'm speaking to myself. I don't know if I'm speaking to any of you, but I know what I'm talking about. Because I can identify, that's the characteristics of Phil Bontrager. It wasn't something I wanted. I just wanted to play baseball and be cool and have a girlfriend and be like everybody else. And I couldn't find that satisfaction. Look at the people who try to influence you over the years. How many, Brother Jim, how many people try to get you to go to this church or that church or do something or move here and move there, but you sat there like some obstinate, stubborn old man? What's wrong with you? Can't you just get along? Look at these people sitting in here without your family with you. Why do you think God's more important than your family or something? What's wrong with you people? Bunch of weirdos. Just be like everybody else, but you can't. You tried it. Something inside just won't like it, and it's not something you desired. The prophet said, oh, I always want to be a Christian. Yeah, your old nature did. When it comes, you come to what it, find out what it really means to be a Christian, it's like, oh, wait a minute, I don't know about this. And there's 99% of the other people, I don't know about this. That's why so many people have walked out of this church. I don't think I want to serve God this way. I'm going to serve him according to my own desires, like Satan does. So that's pretty cold. You want the truth or not? It says this. He says, It's something that you couldn't desire to be in there. It's something that's contrary to your own nature. It's contrary to your own nature. Your own nature wants to serve God, but not this way. I can't tell you how many times I sat in a pew here and have my pride just trampled on and just ripped and cut and shredded. And I'm thinking, I don't like this. Like Brother Nate was saying, if I went to another church, I wouldn't go anywhere else. If I quit going to church here, where would I go? What are you going to do, go to a Baptist church? Sit there with a smirk on your face? What are you going to do there? You come too far? It scares me when I see people can walk away from the message and be comfortable in another church. You know what it proves? All they ever had was an education. That's all it was. They were just educated into the message. It's a pitiful thing, but it's got to be, friends. See, that's something else that our old nature don't like. You mean they're just, they never had a chance to be saved? Yeah, they can. They can be saved. They're not going to be bride. God chooses his own bride. And he knows what choice you're going to make because of who you are. You were always a child of God. You didn't become a child of God one day, but he said, I'm going to come and save those who are mine. It's redemption. I think I made this illustration before. Let me do it again. God is not on a Walmart shopping trip. He goes to a pawn shop to shop. Let me see. You go to Walmart. Let's say you have a shot. You know what? I need a shotgun. He goes to Walmart, buys a shotgun, takes it home. That's his, right? That's not redemption because it wasn't his to begin with. But see, daddy gives you a shotgun. You're having some financial problems. You go pawn it. You get the money back. You go back to the pawn shop and buy back what was yours. That's redemption. He goes and buys back what was his. And that's all. Let me give you another example. Maybe make this more clear. You go down, a man and wife, they're going to have a baby. They go down to the hospital, has a baby. They put the baby in the nursery for a little while. The next day, it's time to go home. That man and wife do not go down to the nursery and look around and say, which one do we want to take? That's a cute little girl. We'll take her. And since we're here, let's take this little boy over here. He seems so bright and sunny. That crybaby over there, we're not taking them. The doctor said, or the nurse says, no, that's yours. You only get to take home your baby. God doesn't go down to church and look around and say, whom do I want to save? I think I'll save her and him, not him. Nah, think about him. Yes, no, no, yeah. That's not the way it is. He goes down to church and say, oh, this is mine, and this is mine, and this is mine, and this is mine. He's just saving his kids. And our old nature and the world does not like that, that God has a say in salvation. That's not fair. Okay, well, take your complaints to judgment day, and you can tell God he's not fair. That's amazing. Who could write a story like this? He said, it's something that's contrary to your own nature. Listen to this. It's the foreknowledge of God taking place. What makes you miserable? What torments? What drives you crazy? It's the foreknowledge of God taking place. He knew who you were way before you did. And he's bringing you to a place where you recognize it. And when you see these characteristics in you and you recognize, well, I fit this. I fit these characteristics. Then you know what you can say? Grace. It's just grace. Because I've seen a lot of message believers are a lot better person than I am. A lot better person. Walk away. Not from the message, just from the truth. I say, well, God, why did you choose me and not them? You know what? There's a little bit of pride wants to jump in and say, and I've heard people say this, well, he must have seen something good in me. No, he didn't. He didn't see nothing good in you. He did not save you because he saw something good in you. He saved you because he saw his own seed in you. Because you are just as nasty as the next person. You're just as capable of being as nasty as the next person. And some of them have been nastier than the next person. But there's good stuff in me. Sure, it's the tree of life, a good and evil. So there's good and evil. Well, there's good in me, Brother Phil. Yeah, and just as much good, there's just that much evil. It's even. Oh, if we would just recognize, God didn't see anything good in you, decide to save you. He saw himself in you. It was nothing to do with you or your nature or anything like that. It was something that he put in there from the beginning. Well, I'm a good person, Brother Phil. Take it to judgment and argue your case. You have nothing to say. He said, oh, wayward man or woman this morning, when you're sitting here and there's something in you telling you this is right. It's the Holy Spirit seeking you out to bring you to a knowledge of the truth of this hour that we're now living. Not some hour that's gone by, the hour now. So we have to walk in the light of today. What is going on right now? We'll get to that more here in a little bit, Lord willing. It's not you. It's not the choices you're making. It's something inside you that drives you, that pulls you, that draws you to that choice. Remember the third pull? What was it? It was the first pull. It got the attention. Second pull got attention. The third pull got the attention of the bride. What was it? Something inside that's drawing her to the truth for this hour. You don't put that in there. It's something you have no control over. So do you see the characteristics of who you are? If you see that, friends, you say, well, Brother Phil, I'm not even born again yet. Or walk in the light that you currently see, and you will keep going. Don't get discouraged. Say, I see that God has done this in my life. I see the characteristics of a true believer in my life. Then focus on that. Don't focus on everything Satan's throwing you and you're trying so hard and you're doing this and all that. Focus on the fact that you know what God has done so far in your life. My, that's good. Let me say that again. Focus on what God had done so far in your life. Not about, well, is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? It's like if Michael, well, God, Daddy, am I going to get my rifle? Am I going to get it? Yes, you're going to get it. Just focus on what you have to do now, which is when Mom says stay out of the street, you stay out of the street. And then you'll come to where you get your rifle. That making sense? What is God currently doing? And don't sit there and say, well, I'm good to go. Then no, you're not good to go because something inside is drawing you to more. But don't look around at other things. Look at the light that you're currently walking in. This is what God has done in my life. Let me focus on this and keep going forward. That's all he wants you to do. That's for all of us. Yes, sir. Well, am I going to make the rapture? So you don't believe who you are now? Well, of course I believe I'm part of the bride. Then why are you asking if you're going to make the rapture? See how that works? Satan's telling you all kinds of stuff. You're not going to make it. You're not going to be ready. You're going to do this. You can't overcome this. You got this problem. You got this problem. The church's going to fall apart. All this. Please. Quit wasting your time listening to that stuff. Focus on what God has done in your life up to this point and keep walking from there. Because if you will believe that, listen to this. If you will believe what he is currently doing, God is obligated to take you on. He's obligated to his word. Let's look at something else. Romans 8:11, if this spirit that raised up Jesus Christ be in you, it will also quicken your mortal bodies. Not only did he prove to us that he was Jehovah Redeemer, had power over death, hell, and the grave, but he also gave us the access to the same spirit that we ourselves can have the assurance that we too are quickened by that spirit. For if the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in your body, it will quicken your mortal body. Now the word quicken means to be made alive after death. After it's dead, then it's to be quickened. Now, we talked about Thursday how it quicken your mortal body. That means this body. A mortal body is a body that can die. Not an immortal body. You say, well, it's going to quicken when I get my body changed. It's going to quicken me. Well, yeah, but that's not what we're talking about. He said, going to quicken this body that you're currently in to live the life, to perform what he wants you to do now, that you can have the assurance that you know who you are. It's called the new birth. And when that Spirit comes in, it will take you and it will grow you and it will mature you to the point where he can use you in the ministry that he's ordained for you to be used. This is not optional. This is not optional. This is a requirement. You must be born again. And once you're born again, it will bring you to that place where you need to be. Now, Brother Bram talked, you know, if you get born again and you're not going to cooperate, you're going to just keep rebelling against God, he'll just take you from the earth. He said, I'm not going to have you bring such a reproach to me. Which is also scary when you see all the message believers who claim to be born again and they walk away from the truth and God just lets them go. It's kind of scary when you think, well, why doesn't God bring him to a correction? Why doesn't God bring him back? Why doesn't God do something here? I'm not sitting judging who is who and who isn't and all that. But when you look at the characteristics, he brought you back, didn't he? Amen. He brought you back. He didn't let you go. I tried to walk away one time. 2 weeks. He brought me back. But you can have the assurance that we too are quickened by that Spirit. Friends, you have to have that. And now, and here's where people go, well, I know I have it because I've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. I know I had an experience with the Holy Spirit and I get anointed and I... See, that's not what we're talking about. And you know better than that. Don't sit there and look at that evidence as something that, well, this is a proof because I felt this or I emotioned this or I did whatever, some sensation. You know better than that. It's when the word for your day is happening through you. He said, the world has been shut up in doubt for many ages until then. This was proven. Not only talked about, but was proven. As Jesus said, go ye therefore, teach all nations and prove to them by demonstrating the power of God to them. You can talk to people about the message all day long. Well, God sent a prophet and he did this to the prophet. He did this to the prophet. They say, when did this happen? Back in 1960. What? That's your proof? You see how empty that is? But when you say, God did this last Sunday, can I give a little testimony? I don't know how much I got this right and all, but at work every Friday we have a little prayer group and we get together, we pray for just a couple minutes and just different people. It's all voluntary, you know. People want to do it. And we were doing it one time, and I said, I got to tell you something that happened in church. And I spoke a little bit about the situation here. Well, Sister Lydia prayed and asked God to torment my husband to get him right. And you should have seen the looks in those people's faces. They did not understand a God like that. And one woman said, you mean she wants him to like to get revenge on him? And that thought went so far away from me, I looked at her like, what are you talking about? Revenge is love. They don't believe in a God who breaks you down. They want a God who just makes you feel good. And I said something like this, you know, the only thing that matters is salvation. And they look at you like, well, yeah. It was the strangest thing. And I realized how different we were. They are good people. They care enough to come there in a place like that and pray together. Wonderful people. They've been a great blessing to me. They don't know the God I know. They don't know the God, the characteristics of the God that we know. And they're just kind of like, I don't know. To pray that God would do something bad to someone? When your pastor prays, God takes away your comfort and make you miserable, it happens. If you're one of his. If you're not one of his, he might say, well, I'm not going to waste their time. Let them be happy here while they can. Isn't that amazing? See, these are the characteristics I'm talking about. A living God. Something that's happening right now. I don't have to go back and say, well, I know it's true because of what God did through the prophet. I can tell you this message is true because I see the evidence right here. Brother Jim will tell, he's told everyone in Dixon about how God healed him and how God delivered him. Current, living, present day God. Without that, we just have a historical something. We're no different than any other denomination. It's got to be the word happening. Now we can say we believe, but until we have the proven sign that he said that would be upon us, then we are just confessing to be a believer and not the possession of a believer. We must possess it. You need to see the characteristics of possession. He said, I'm afraid that today many of us are not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to a church, to a theory, but we must get them to Christ. He is the only one, and the only one that has life. He that has a son has life. You know, without that Holy Spirit, that Spirit in you, quickening you, Brother Branham talked about it, it's like a car. You get a perfect car, come right off the assembly line. It's perfectly made. It's beautiful. It's full of gas. But don't have a spark. And without the Holy Spirit, you can live a wonderful message life, so to speak, and be as holy as can be, and you can do all the right things. You can pay your tithes. You can worship. You can preach. You can do all the things. But without the spark, you're just a dead person going through religious motions. You have to have it, and you have to know that you have it. How do you know? Because God reveals it to you. And typically, what he done with me, he'll speak it to me, and then he'll take me to the Word and show me the evidence in the Word. This is you. Remember that story about the guy who saw the mirror the first time? He said, Mommy, that's me. That's the cute little story, isn't it? Well, let me tell you what, it's a way more than cute story. That's what you must have. You must be able to look in here and see the attributes of a believer identifying who you are. If you don't have that, friends, that revelation, that solid revelation, you will never fulfill the word that needs to be fulfilled in this end time. Because you and I have some word to fulfill in the very near future that's going to blow our minds when it happens. That's what I wanted to preach on this morning, but I'm not allowed to, so I'm going to keep going. Boy, it's exciting. The things Brother Branham said about what the bride is going to fulfill in this last day. He's called us to do it. No wonder we've suffered. No wonder we've had the things happen. Oh, I want to get on that other message so bad, I'm going to displease him and start preaching it. Let me go a little bit different angle now. He said, those Pharisees believed in many things to be the truth. They said, we're God's children. They said, we're message believers. We believe the prophet. And they were. Listen to this. They were God's children until that word was preached. But when that word was preached and vindicated, then they become sinners for rejecting the thing that they knew was right and witness that we know that our teacher come from God. Listen to this. They were right. They were walking in the light of their day. They were just fine. They were believing their prophets until the word turned a corner. Until it was more word was going to be vindicated. The word that the prophet preached was vindicated and proven. And then they said, no, we're not going to go that way. Because they were going this way, the word turned that way. And they kept going and they became sinners and died and went to hell. Now here's the reality. If you are one of God's chosen and you're walking this way and the light goes that way, you might attempt to keep going this way. And you will. Because this is comfort. This is the way I believe. This is the kind of message church I want. This is the kind of pastor I want. But you take about two more steps this way, and all of a sudden, the hounds of hell are chewing on your tail, and you're going to come back here, and you're going to turn right, and you're going to go the right direction. Because God's not going to lose a one. All the Father has given me will come, and I will not lose a one. And you can't even come except he draw you. Ain't that exciting? And you're going to learn that when the light turns, you follow it. You're going to learn it. And after a while, you're going to this. I want to go this way. No, I'm going to go this way because I'm tired of getting chewed. I'm tired of having my hide stripped off of me in church. I'm tired of having to go through these trials and tribulations because I'm too stubborn to. I want to do it my way. And he will bring you to a point where you're willing. I like how David said, are you going to come hard or are you going to come harder? But you're going to come. So come hard way. No reason to come the hard way by now. He said, I wonder today, where are we at? I ask you, where is this resurrection finding us? Do you dare to step out? Do you dare to take God at his word? Are you willing to say, this is what God has shown me about myself, and I'm going to stand on this revelation until he shows me the next thing, instead of having Satan come and tell me, well, it's not you. If you was you, you wouldn't be doing that. You would have this. Stand there. Are you willing to step up and say, Satan, God, show me who I am. What are you talking about? I still find myself thinking, well, Satan's just telling me this, and Satan's telling me that. Oh, wow. If Satan's telling you something, why is it so easy to believe it when you recognize it's Satan? But still it is, because he has so much evidence to back up what he's saying. Sister Susie, if you're literally born again, you would not be doing this. You would not be having those thoughts. You'd be treating Paul a lot nicer. Well, he has a point. And there's also a point that I'm still growing. We're still growing. And so continue to grow by focusing on what God is doing for you now instead of all the evidence Satan says, well, you might as well just quit. You ain't never going to get there. Well, yes, you are. But if you take Satan's feel sorry for yourself, get all down, oh, I just don't know anymore, then you know what God wants to do? He wants to sit down next to you and say, you know what, Brother Chris, I see how bad you're feeling. Let me just pat you on the back a little bit and tell you, you're such a good guy. You'll make it. That ain't Jesus Christ, God. That's the God of this world. God's going to grab you by the ear. Do your parent ever grab you by the ear and pick you up? Boy, that hurt. Little kid, dad would grab me like, it's probably child abuse. I don't know if it is or not, but he'd pick you up and he'd swat you. That's what God wants to do to us when we sit there feeling sorry for yourself because of the trials we're going through. I'm just having a hard time. Someone says something bad about me. Get up and move. Tell you what, I don't know if anyone else is getting it. This is kicking my tail right now. He said, do you dare take God at his word? If you're ordained to life, you sure will do it. If you're an eagle, you can't help doing it. There's something in you. You can't help but fulfill the word that God has given you fulfill. You will walk forward. You will learn to take God at his word instead of looking at all the evidence against you. You will say, God said this, and I'm standing on this promise until he brings it to pass. And then he'll give you another promise to stand on, and another promise, because he's growing us up to the point where he can release the most amazing power into your hands. Now I'm getting on my other subject again. My goodness, we're close. Talk about Michael. I want a rifle, Daddy. Let me tell you something, brother and sister. I'm going to go ahead and say this. God wants to release a weapon in your hand that's way powerful than any rifle. But he has to trust you with it. He has to be able to trust you with it. You know what that weapon is, don't you? It's the manifestation of the word. It comes completely off here and completely in here, and you walk around as the vindicated, the proven, identified children of God. All he wants to do is find someone he can trust. You know how Jesus, what he said about Jesus? Though he were a son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. Why are you suffering, Dixon, Tennessee? Why are we going through the trials that we're going through? Look at all the past. Why all these things? Because we're learning obedience. That we will not be controlled by our emotions. Let me finish here. He said there were thousands that were obeying the hour past, but there was a present tense hour. That was the hour that Jesus was to appear. There stood the word. There stood the people. There was a manifestation of God taking place to vindicate that that was the truth. As the Pentecostal people today, let me say this, that we're standing in this last day where God promised you would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. His sons and daughters would prophesy, for it said, these signs shall follow them that believe. It's the hour. That's what makes that creation in you. That creation in you is that seed that has come to life. And there are many people who are obeying the hour past. There's many people who are obeying the message past. They're following the past. They're focusing on the past. But the message was not about the prophet. God didn't send a prophet to have a prophet. He sent a prophet to have a bride. It's the bride. It's not the prophet. And people are looking at the hour past, and they're obeying the hour past, but there's a present tense hour, present tense word that has to be followed. It's the word that's currently being vindicated. When the preaching God's words come forth, it's vindicated and proved that it's God's word for the hour, then there's something within the believer. I don't care how loyal his father was to church, how loyal his mother, his grandparents. Let me skip down a little bit. Talking about the eagle, he'll leave the barnyard, he'll go to it. The chicken might have been all right, but this is eagle hour. It's different. It's something that he must leave the old coop and fly away into the blue. Then this earthly body is quickened, brought to by the quickening spirit to the obedience of God's word. When this Holy Spirit, represented as an eagle, flying over the land and finds a believer, he said, no man can come to me as he wants to. I'm trying to quit. But listen to what he said. No man can come to me as he wants to. It ain't your natural desire. It ain't your old nature desire to serve God. It isn't your desire to skip hell. It isn't what sends people to the Baptist and the Methodist and the Pentecostal churches. It's something more than that. It's not the way you want to come, but he draws you the way you don't want to come. No man can come to me as he wants to. All the Father has given me will come to me, but no man can come by himself. It isn't your own thinking, your own drawing. It's God's drawing. All the Father has given me will come to me. Oh, brother and sister, sometimes, well, I want to serve God. He has to save me. Oh, no, he doesn't. If that was the case, Esau would have been saved. They asked Peter, what should we do? They felt pricked in the heart there on Pentecost. He said, repent and be baptized. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Brother and sister, the first thing is repent. And to repent, it means from your heart, you have to desire to change. Esau couldn't find that place. You know what? Esau said, I want to be right. I know I agree, God. I want to be right. I want to repent. But what is the big deal about a birthright? What is the big deal? Jacob wanted to be the priest of the family. Let him be the priest. Why does it matter? You know what? He couldn't find a place where he was really sorry for that because it just didn't make sense to him. And after all, Jacob lied to get the blessing and God accepts him. Come on. This ain't fair. Let me say something about the prophet, our prophet, Brother Branham. Now, listen carefully so you don't get the wrong idea. Brother Branham came to a point where he said, I lost the feeling for the people. I built a complex against them because I thought they should have believed it. After all the proof, after all these years, they should have believed. He said, forget it. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to go up there to the north, and I'm going to be a hunter and a trapper and a guide. And when God gives me a message, I'll come down, I'll preach, I'll go back up and leave the people alone. You know the story. He preached this. He talked about it, I believe, standing in the gap. And then you know what he said? He said, I know it's wrong. He said, but I still feel that way. Even though he knew it was wrong, he said, I still, why? Because that complex, that something had put in his heart, and Satan had got a root of bitterness or something, not in his heart, in his mind, in his spirit realm, and that was still there. And here's the thing. He said, God's going to have to change me. Because even though he could go to God and repent, say, I'm sorry, he still felt justified. That's your prophet. See, Esau still felt justified. And if you still feel justified in what you do and you repent, God, I'm sure sorry about this. But my goodness, that's not repentance. And God had to change a prophet's mind about this so he could actually repent correctly. He did. We'll find out when I preach that other message, we'll never get to it, that he did change. He changed his mind. But in the prophet's own ability, he could not get rid of that because he felt justified. He said, those people should have believed. And he's right. They should have. He was justified in that. But see, when it gets there and it interferes with God's will for your life, then you got a problem. So if you can repent and be truly sorry for these things instead of justifying yourself, then you can get somewhere with God. But if you don't even do that, you're not getting anywhere. Let me finish right here. Now the Holy Spirit is here on earth looking out those individuals that God has ordained to life in this age. And as soon as he finds it, it does just like it did on Jesus Christ, the great super son of God, he who redeemed us all. He comes down and takes his place of abode into the human life. The Holy Spirit is here on earth searching out his own kids. And when he finds them, that same characteristics happened on you that happened on Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And he comes and he takes his abode in you because you're such a good person. Because you're such a wonderful brother. We need you in our church. No. Just simply because he knew you from before the foundation of the world. And the word has the effect on you that it has on every other believer. Isn't that exciting? If you can identify, and this is just a couple things we talked about this morning, but if you can identify these characteristics, God identifying the characteristics in you through the word, brother and sister, walk in that. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to think, oh my goodness, here I am again. You know, sometimes you have a besetting sin, something you fall to all the time. I don't know, maybe you don't, I do. And you go to God and say, I'm sorry, I did this again. He said, what do you mean again? Well, I've done this 1,000 times. Really? According to my record, this is the first time. Can you believe that? It's hard to believe that. Because Satan reminds you of all the things you've done. And yet God looks at it and said, no, according to my records, this is the first time. Of course I forgive you. Get up and keep going. But God, I'll probably do it again. Well, okay, well, that'll be the first time. Do you believe that? That God actually forgets? My mind struggles. How can he forget? He knows I've done this so many times. He knows I'm going to do it again. Well, then if you know you're going to do it again, why don't you just not do it again? Because I'm still not mature enough. I'll just be honest with you. I still got issues. And I'm still in this flesh body. Well, that's your excuse. No, it's just the reality. So you know what he wants me to do? Is when you make a mistake, quit sitting there and feeling bad and all down, take me at my word, repent, get up, and keep walking. Stop whining and feeling sorry for yourself. Amen? Let's stand. I think we're done. God bless you this morning. It's sure good to be back here in Dixon. And I love going on vacation. I love the places I get to go, and God's really blessed me. But I sure miss being with people like you. We were outside just talking about some of the things the world is going to. It's just gone so bad. And I was thinking, you know, if we didn't have friends, if we didn't have believers like this to fellowship with, and all you had was the world to fellowship with, what a lonely place it would be. Because you don't fit out there. But you can come, you can talk to believers and fellowship with believers. And we have things in common, like the Holy Spirit makes a huge difference. Amen. God bless you. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you would come and encourage us this morning. I just pray that you let this word have the effect that you wanted it to. Let it find that heart and sink down and anchor. Let each person just keep pressing on the battle, Lord. So few people here. Surely, Lord Jesus, you've called each one of us to this life, and we can press on, and Father, until you take us home in a rapture. Bless us as we go from here. Bless us this week. Keep us safe. Keep us healthy, Lord. Lord, you know what's in store for us. So help us, Lord, just walk with us as we face the trials that are ahead. Let us always keep our eyes on you. I ask this in your name.